السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. With the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we have been discussing certain du'as of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the benefit of the ummah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam taught many du'as. And I explained to you that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being rahmatul lil alameen, he had great concern for the ummah. His concern for the ummah was so much that he stood all night in prayer. His feet used to swell, and who he used to cry for the ummah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Hajjatul Wada, he used to tear so much in his duas that his ihram used to get wet with his tears. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to go into sajda, the musalla used to get wet with his tears. Now that sinless, masoom Nabi, for whom was he tearing? He was tearing for us. His blood oozed in Taif, for whom? For us. In Uhud, his teeth were shattered, for whom? For us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his concern was nothing but the ummah. And not only the ummah-e-ijabat, those who had answered his call, but even the ummah-e-dawat, the disbelievers, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, the munafiqeen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's concern was that each and every one should accept Islam so that they get saved from the fire of Jahannam. They must accept the deen of Allah Ta'ala so that they may get saved from the fire and azab of Jahannam. At present, our condition is this, that we express a lot of anger over the enemies of Islam. And we keep on cursing them. But together with that, how much did we make dua for them? How much of dua did we make? How much did we cry at night for them? How much did we fulfill this sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of crying at night that Allah Ta'ala must give hidayat to even the disbelievers, to those who are the enemies of Islam? Yes, after that, if they are obstinate, they are persistent, and they have made up their minds that they are going to cause problem for the ummah and create all kinds of obstacles and bring about destruction, and they will never ever accept Islam and the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and they will wage wars against the Muslims, then we say that after that Allah Ta'ala must shake them like he shook the Aad and Samud. But together with that, how much of du'as we have to make for the hidayat. Because that Allah who gave hidayat to those kuffar, mushrikeen, yahood, nasara, and they became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an when they accepted Islam at the hands of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then look at the heights that they reached, that even the sahabi of the lowest level, all the walis of the world put together, cannot touch the status of the lowest sahabi. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got qudrat. We too must show that kind of concern and love and make dua for them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was so concerned about those who didn't even believe in Allah Ta'ala, how much concern he was that the believers themselves must not go on to wrong lines and wrong tracks and root of vice and sin and evil and then land themselves in Jahannam. And also that in their lives, because there will be different conditions that they will face. Sometimes conditions of poverty, sometimes conditions of sickness, sometimes conditions of good health and sometimes of ill health. Sometimes conditions of depression and sadness and sorrow. And sometimes condition of deaths and sometimes conditions of richness and wealth. There will be different conditions. So in his du'as also you will find that some way we are being taught to make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In some places we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from different kinds of azab. In in some places for sabr. Different kinds of du'as you will find of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the du'a that we have been discussing is where Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who was in debts and he could not pay the debts due to unforeseen circumstances, due to whatever difficulty he was facing, it was beyond his means to pay those debts. And as a result, the people to whom he was owing the money, they were demanding. And he was suffering grief and sorrow. I'm explaining you that hadith. So because of this, he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, these debts have overpowered me. Grief and sorrow has overtaken me. My heart is engulfed and taken over by grief, by pain, by sorrow. And these debts which have overpowered me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, should I not teach you a dua, a supplication, that if you make that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will remove this burden of debts from you. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will remove your grief and your sorrow and your pain and your suffering. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do teach me. Now a sahabi, he knew fully well that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that shall I not teach you this, then he knew fully well that that was the solution to his problem. And because of his asking, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave the ummah that solution. These du'as, we must be grateful to that sahabi that he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made that du'a, so today we can make that same du'a and solve our problems. Many things happened in the life of the sahabas. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put them through different stages and different tests and different trials so that the ummah may learn lessons. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught him this dua, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min al-hammi wal-husn. O Allah, I seek protection in you from ham, sorrow, grief, worry, distress, and distress too of a kind which, as I explained, melts the person, dissolves the person. In that worries, he just reaches a stage where he cannot even take it anymore. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you make this dua, it will take you out of that worries. So, inni a'uzu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn, wa a'uzu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْبُخْلِ وَالْجُبْنِ. And O Allah, I seek protection in you from bukhl, miserliness, stinginess. Now this is a very serious disease. Especially those people who are taking interest, those people who are in the habit of charging interest. They give loans and they're taking interest. On other things they are charging an interest. One is a profit according to Sharia. There are two rules, masail. And the other is where the person is not taking any risk of any kind in a business. It's not a business profit of any kind. It is nothing but interest or usury. So those people, their hearts become very, very hard. No matter how much of money they will have, but their hearts are so hard that I have dealt with cases where multi-rich person, but his wife will say and his children will say that not even the necessities are provided. And if the person brings bread also, he will bring half a loaf of bread and 6 eggs, and at the end of the week he wants to know who ate the eggs up. And half of it he must have eaten up himself. So hard they become. I recall an incident that I was sitting at the Jan Smuts airport with one late friend. He passed away. So a person was coming after having checked in. Now he was coming towards us. That person was also traveling. So this friend of mine, he said, Maulana, you must see that person that's coming now. As soon as he comes, the first thing he will ask me is for cigarette. He's multi-rich, but he can't buy a packet of cigarette. He says, the first thing he must see, he'll ask me for cigarette. And believe me, I'm in the masjid, I'm not speaking a lie. As soon as that person came, the first thing he said, have you got any cigarette with you? So then he said that, Mawlana, Allah make me maaf, but I borrowed a lot of money from this person. When that person moved out, he said, I borrowed a lot of money on interest from this person. And he's got so much, but he can't even spend on himself or on his family. So that is that bukhal. It makes the heart very hard. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person who is generous, he is close to Allah Ta'ala, he is close to Jannat, and he is close to the people. The generous person, the one who makes sakhawat, he is close to Allah Ta'ala, he is close to the people, and he is also close to Jannat, and he is far away from the fire of Jahannam. And the person who is stingy and miserly, then he is far away from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is far away from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is close to the fire of Jahannam, and he is far away from the people also, because of that miserliness. Three very rich misers were discussing how to reduce the electricity bill. So they had fans. So one said that, I bought one fan with three blades to show the neighbors that I also got fan. But to reduce the electricity, I have told the family that they must take one blade out, leave only two. So the other one said that, no, but I told my family must take two out, leave only one. The fan can still run with one blade. So the third one said, he said, no, what I have told my family is that when you feel hot, you must sit under the fan and shake yourself. You don't have to put the fan on. Why waste electricity? Sit under the fan and you move yourself, you'll get a breeze. So this miserliness, it's a sickness, it's a disease. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this dua, he says, oh Allah, I seek protection in you from miserliness, from stinginess. There are so many hadiths on it. And Jubn is where the person is a coward. There is a jihad taking place. In the battlefield, the person shows his back and run away. Or on other occasion where he's supposed to be showing his bravery, that there he shows his cowardice. The problem with us is that we will show our bravery in the wrong places. The person shows his bravery when he is in his house, over his children and over his wives. Then there the person wants to act like a soldier. There the person is a soldier. But where he is supposed to be showing his bravery, there he becomes meek like a lamb. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, oh Allah, I seek protection in you from miserliness and from cowardice. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn wa a'uzu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl wa a'uzu bika min ghalabati al-dayni wa qahri al-rijal. And O Allah, I seek protection in you from the overpowering of debts. As I explained to you yesterday, that the person should not unnecessarily incur debts. Debts is something that the person should not incur without real need for, to do so. And if he has to take a loan also, he must take it from a person who is big-hearted, generous, and he understands the condition of this person who is borrowing. And the person who is borrowing, he must make a firm niyat and intention that I want to pay as quickly as possible. If he's going to make a niyat like that, then Allah Ta'ala appoints angels who make dua for him. That, oh Allah, provide this person sufficiently so that he may pay his debts. And it is mentioned that this person will not die until his debts are paid, because his niyat was that. And when the person makes his niyat that I want to pay in 60 months time and I want to pay in 120 months time, So then Allah Ta'ala also stretches out that risk and sustenance of his. Yes, sometimes to purchase some property or purchase a car or something, as long as it is not on HP finances, but the person has made an agreement that I want to buy this property or this house and I will pay you over 10 years, 5 years, 2 years. So there's nothing wrong with that. But his niyat must be this, that the moment I get sufficient funds, then I will pay. He must not say that now because I've got an agreement that I will finish up paying in 10 years time or 20 years time in installments, so therefore I will religiously stick to that commitment. What does he know whether he's going to live for the next 10 years, 20 years? So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala suddenly gave him a windfall and the person came by some inheritance or some business deal brought him plenty of profits, so now he mustn't plan now to travel the world and spend his money on other luxuries just because he has got this terms from this person or this company. He must immediately go and pay up those accounts and see how much of barakat Allah Ta'ala then gives. When the person makes up his mind that I want to pay this person, although I've got an agreement with him that you can pay over 24 months and over 3 years and 5 years, but if I can get money today halal, then I will pay this person off. Then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also gives through strange sources, unknown sources Allah ta'ala will provide. There are so many examples of that. Allah ta'ala will give this person through unknown sources and he will be able to pay off those debts and he will come out of it. And the moment he comes out of it, he himself will feel like a burden went off his shoulders. Why must he sit with those debts for so long? So he's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from the overpowering of debts and also from the subjugation of people. And that is what is going to happen when this person is going to be dependent. Then there will be some kind of suppression, some kind of subjugation. So this sahabi says that when he made that dua just for a few days, morning and evening, all his debts got paid, his worries were over, his grief and his sorrow and his pain was over. Now if it happened to him, cannot it happen to us also? These duas are for us. But again that condition, that for Muslims and for the believers, then they must give up sins. And then make these duas and see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala changes in the conditions. And stay away from interest, from haram. That is something that prevents the acceptance of duas. Always remember that example that I have given many, many times. And I have repeated it in many places because I have seen the results of that example. So many brothers, without exaggeration. And as I think I mentioned in the Jummah Bayan, that just a day or two before the Ramadan, a young person, he says, thousands of rands he wasted in the casinos. And he says, just that one example of yours, and I made sincere tawbah. And over the past couple of months, he says, I haven't been there at all. And now I regret why I did not listen to you or attend your programs. I wouldn't have wasted so much of money. And the sum that told the money that he spent there when he gave me that sum, it was shocking. But that example, he says, when you said that you must always believe when you win through the lotto or through a casino or through any haram source, if you get anything, then you must believe that you have won nothing but a pig. So if you won 26 million or 30 million or 50 billion, then you must always believe that what you have won is 50 million pigs, 26 million pigs. Anything, whether it's 1 rand or 1 billion rand that comes through haram, then believe and firmly believe that there's no difference between that and one pig. So what you have won is 20 million pigs. So must our saliva flow when we read in the newspaper so and so won 26 million in lotto. But that is what happens when we see that, immediately we say, ha ha, I wish it was me, I wish it was me. Our saliva begins to flow. Whereas if that person is informed that, oh you Muslim, you have won 20 million pigs and they will be delivered to your farm. Will any Muslim be happy with that? And that your name will be published in the newspaper, that Mr. So and so, a believer in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whose religion and faith tells him that gambling is haram, he has won 26 million pigs. So this haram is the thing which is causing this blockage. So stay away from haram and then make du'as with yaqeen, with faith and with trust and with belief and conviction that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all powerful, almighty, and His treasures are unlimited. He is our creator, He is our sustainer, and if we are going to turn towards Him, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will solve our problems. Then there cannot be any reason why this person's dua will not be accepted. But again, we must remember that acceptance of dua does not mean that you always get exactly what you asked for. Because if that was the case, then every person will just make dua, Ya Allah, you make me a billionaire, you make me a billionaire. Now, if everybody becomes a millionaire and billionaire, then who's going to sweep the street, and who's going to clean our homes, and who's going to be working for anyone? Everyone will say, why must I work for you? You work for me. So the nizam of the world, it will not be manageable. So Allah Ta'ala has got in His wisdom, somebody will be rich, somebody will be poor, somebody will be working, somebody will be boss. So sometimes when the person is making a dua, he will get that which he asked for. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala will accept that dua and remove some difficulty of his which he was not even aware that was coming. Allah Ta'ala knows what's going to happen to us tomorrow. Now there was some bala that was coming, there was some accident that was going to take place, there was going to be a hijack, there was going to be a murder, or there was going to be a hold up, or there was going to be some other kind of disaster that this person was going to face, or his family was going to face. Now he was making a lot of dua, oh Allah, give me shifa from my sickness, give me shifa from my sickness. But he remained sick, he didn't get shifa from that sickness. But Allah Ta'ala removed that some other difficulty that was going to come upon him. And he must believe that definitely Allah Ta'ala moved it out. Don't we say many times that I missed it by seconds, I missed it by seconds. How many times we have said that? That I missed the accident by an inch or by a few centimeters. Or I was nearly caught up in that hold up too. And whilst they were firing, the bullet just went past my neck. Don't we hear things like that? Now what does that person know? He must have been making dua one day and making ameen, ameen on some other duas, which he was asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now with the barakat of that, Allah ta'ala saved him somewhere else. Oh, Allah ta'ala will give him in the akhirat, when the person will get in the akhirat, in the hereafter, if only we have that kind of yaqeen, then that person will say, Ya Allah, but all these things are, what am I getting for? All these great, great gifts and ni'mats and blessings and rewards. I didn't do so much of ibadat. Then Allah Ta'ala will inform him that these are the fruits of those du'as which were not accepted in the world. They were accepted, but you didn't see the fruits of it in the world. So I have kept it here for you in the akhirat. Say at that moment the person will say, Ya Allah, I wish not one du'a of mine was given in the dunya. I wish I didn't see the fruit of any du'a of mine in the dunya when I was going to see all that in the akhirat. But because we are weak, so therefore we say, Ya Allah, give it to us in this world too, give it to us in the akhirat too. But once we have that yaqeen, then there is no powerful weapon as the dua. It is salahul mu'min, it is the weapon of the believers. But in the dua, there must be, the heart must be in the dua, the mind, the soul, everything must be in the dua. Not that the person is sitting here stretching his hands and asking Allah Ta'ala, his mind is somewhere else. So when the person will make dua like that, Allah Ta'ala will definitely accept it and give him something or the other. And then again, the effort has to be made in the right direction. It doesn't mean that the person just sits back on the strength of the dua. The dua will now become the means of Allah Ta'ala opening for him those avenues. So then he must go to the marketplace. The birds, they all have tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. None of them have got any business running anywhere. All the birds who are in the nest, have they got some business somewhere? They all got tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. But what do? In the morning they come out of the nest and then they go out. Now some bird will fly over Mitchell Park and some brothers were having some picnic there. In the evening they left behind some sandwiches or some crumbs. So those birds will get their rizq there. Another one will go down some grey street or some other area where somebody is selling some grains, and then that bird will see outside somebody has put some grains, it will get its rizq there. And some bird will fly over and they'll see that somebody is throwing seeds to the pigeons, and that bird will get its rizq there. But they make that little effort of going out. So this Muslim also, whom Allah Ta'ala has given health, He's given him intelligence, He's given him hands, feet, heart and mind, and his liver, heart, lung, everything is functioning. So he must go to the marketplace, he must go and look for some job, he must try and buy and sell and do something. Allah Ta'ala has kept so many different avenues for risk and sustenance. And then with the barakat of that du'as, Allah Ta'ala will give it to him so easily that he himself will be surprised. And his debts will get paid too. So let us read this du'a one time. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min al-hammi wal-huzni wa a'uzu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhli wa a'uzu bika min ghalabati al-dayni wa qahri al-rijal. Now in these days of worries and depression and problems and all kinds of grief and sorrow, even if we are not in debts, but who doesn't have any kind of worry these days? So for our anxieties and for our worries and for our restlessness, increase this dua. Read it a few times a day with yaqeen, with faith in Allah Ta'ala, and see how those worries and pain and depression and all just vanishes. It just evaporates. Wallah, I'm telling you, I can take qasam and tell you. Nowadays we have to take qasam to convince, otherwise there was no need for it. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, then there's no need for taking another qasam. But what do we do? That you will find it just evaporating, like it just vanishes. The person is under severe depression, then he's worried and he's got a lot of grief and sorrow and everything. And now he reads his dua with yaqeen, understanding the meaning. And within a few readings, and add with that, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin, and see how Allah Ta'ala takes away those worries. The person will get peaceful sleep too. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. And the remaining nights and days of Ramadan, may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the ability to appreciate the value and to spend our time correctly. It's just a few days that are left. Don't be negligent. It's to our own peril that we will be negligent. We will become the recipients of the baddua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or the curse of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and the ameen of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam on that curse, that the person who gets the month of Ramadan and he does not gain forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for his sins, so then woe be unto him, may destruction come upon him, may the curse of Allah be upon him. And that rahmatul lil alameen Nabi, who made dua even for his enemies when he was being tortured and stoned in Taif, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent the angels of the mountains and said, oh Nabi of Allah, if you want, then these angels, they will cause these people to be crushed between the mountains. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, give hidayat to my people, for they don't know, they are ignorant of my status and position. So he who made dua even for his enemies, but he says ameen on this curse of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, so then can we escape? But nevertheless, even if we haven't been negligent so far, we haven't really done justice to the month of Ramadan, then the few days and nights that are left, at least spend it correctly. Beg of Allah Ta'ala, ask for forgiveness, change our condition, and then see what kind of peace and sukoon and tranquility and happiness and joy that Allah Ta'ala will give inside the heart. Don't worry about the outside conditions, inside the heart. May Allah bless me, bless you, and the entire ummah with it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.